This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio, and another Town Hall Academy. Thank you all so much for your continued support. Couldn't do this without you. Don't forget, we've been working for about a year. We have our own listening app, and we've changed the name of our network to the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Go to that Automotive Repair Podcast Network or anywhere you may see or touch me in any way. We have the links for both Apple and Android. We are going to do a show today about industry trends, where marketing retention intersect, or how about that super unbelievable client experience? I can't wait to dive into that. And how to survive and advance with AI. And really, everybody has a different perspective on how it works. My guests will talk about that. In the meantime, thank you so much to our great sponsors. Hey, did you know that Napa Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at napatracs.com. Ready to optimize with today's class? Boy, listen to an episode we did with David Boies. Great program. Roll out a training plan for your automotive shop. In just 5 minutes daily, boost knowledge, retention, and improve team performance. Start seeing results today. Join your peers at todaysclass.com. Shop owners, stop juggling multiple marketing tools. Kukui's integrated platform, they deliver 4 times better website conversions, automated follow-up, and real-time ROI tracking. Get industry-leading customer support with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You're probably tired of chasing new customers who never return. We understand. Pit Crew Loyalty ends the one-and-done cycle, turning first visits into lasting, reliable revenue. On the web at PitCrewLoyalty.com. Hey, let's get started. Look who's here. Tristan Sweeney, shop owner and co-founder of Shift Automotive. Hey, Tristan.
I'm good. How are you, Carm?
I'm great, man.
Excellent.
Saim Raza, co-founder, Shift. You know, this thing about Harvard, I've never, ever been around an individual who's graduated from Harvard. And I'm, I guess, honored to say that you did it or you done it.
I guess. Nothing special here. My parents just wish I was a doctor, so not a doctor.
Oh, geez. Oh, my God. I'm just a lonely software programmer in the automotive business. He could have been contender.
Yeah, my 3 older siblings all went to med school. So they're like, you know, so I was the youngest. They're like, it doesn't matter. Just do your own thing. So it is what it is.
So we met at ASTA. He drops the name of Bill Nalu. Of course, a great friend, good supporter of the podcast. Everybody knows Bill. And you know that Bill's working with us on some stuff. shift-automotive.io, and just in case you want to go to their website and see what's going on. But yeah, we're here to talk about that stuff. But, you know, how did you end up getting to have a shop, Tristan? I mean, were you in the industry? Were you curious? How'd you get to be a shop owner?
Not by accident, certainly. I have been in and around the industry since I was younger. I worked for some industry folks when I was in high school. I have been building and modifying cars since I was 15 or 16. And then in 2023, I met the folks at Shop Genie when they were first getting started. My background has been in building early stage software for businesses of all different sizes and industries in different startup capacities, and was introduced to the guys at Shop Genie and joined that team and really kind of fell in love with the craziness that is the auto repair industry. And about 8 or 10 months into that adventure, realized that this was going to be a home for me for a while. I was really going to enjoy building solutions for the space. And as a product guy, I figured the best way to know the problem was to experience it myself. And so I set off on this journey to try to find a shop that could be my testing ground and raw experience of what it is to own and run an auto repair shop.
The thing that I love about both of you in your anointment into the industry is, Saim, you somehow decided to go and visit automotive shops
Because you love the smell of brake clean?
Well, a bit of context. So I grew up in Michigan. I'm in Michigan now. I've always been surrounded by the automotive industry. It was something that I realized that I was kind of unfulfilled. So to kind of backtrack, you know, yes, did graduate from Harvard, not a doctor though. So my parents, you know, are still wishing I'm back there in the medical world. But I worked for a few Silicon Valley startups on the West Coast. I realized that a lot of tech, a lot of particularly AI tech, was just kind of like, wasn't really doing much in the real world. And then, you know, I came back home. I just wanted my career to matter. I wanted it. Maybe that was a bit idealistic. So then, yeah, I visited 150 repair shops in person in the cold and just talked to folks. I've hit up every single repair shop in the Metro Detroit area. I just talked to technicians, talked to service riders, talked to owners, and realized that this was an incredible space that just is really unique. And I just fell in love as well. There's a lot of folks who are doing really good, honest work, but are kind of like, there's good software out here, but there could be something better. You know, when I was working at one of the Silicon Valley startups, I connected with Tristan. Tristan, I actually onboarded Tristan. We were coworkers. So then, you know, Tristan and I got back together and we realized that, hey, like we can use our skill sets, we can use our backgrounds to help. Actually, our first product was on technicians. We wanted, and we still have a product line on that, but was helping technicians diag cars faster and better.
When you've demonstrated this concept to people, did they like it? Did they help you to say, ooh, it could do this? Was there an excitement behind it? What's the, guys, I don't care who talks about this. Where was the evolution of the idea to create Shift Automotive to help, again, you say technicians, I say specialists, because they're brainiacs in those bays. They're not techs anymore in my mind. Where was that evolution of, ooh, this is so cool, and it kept you working on it?
We picked technicians first because it felt to me like the area of the space that had been largely ignored. If we look at what software is available in the space and the innovation that's happened over the last 5 years, it's been focused elsewhere. The tools that technicians use, especially from a repair data and diagnostic standpoint, are largely similar to what they have been for a while. And so that's why we focused there. And what we found was that while it was painful and there were things that there were workflows that could be improved, the pain wasn't great enough to yield a change of behavior. And so in software, the things we talk about as we look at how you find product market fit and you find folks that are kind of obsessed with what you're doing is the change needs to happen naturally. And if it doesn't, you'll find yourself just sort of fighting to get them to use the thing that you're building. And if that's where you're at, you haven't found it. You haven't found the thing yet that has that sort of magical feeling of this is what I needed. And so the feedback we were getting was that this is useful, this is cool, this is different. And also I'm going to just go back and use the repair guide that I was using before because I know exactly how to use it. I've been doing it for 20 years.
Did they want an easy button?
They wanted an easy button, but they weren't necessarily willing to change their behavior to get an easy button. And that is common.
Oh my God. I mean, I think you just nailed it. We can now, the episode's over with. You're right. Even myself, I want something new, but when I realize I got to make some flips in my routine and in how I think things through and how I process stuff, I stay where I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with me, you know, yo-yo dieting. Sometimes you say, I'm going to use my fitness pal. You get on it for a day, for a week, and then you lose 3 pounds. And then you just go to McDonald's and then you're like, oh, you're back to where you started. So, you know, some of that behavioral change, it's like things sound great in theory, but when you're actually trying to do something for the latest software, isn't going to solve it. There's no silver bullet, you know?
Wow. You know, when we were designing our listening app, all I kept thinking about was an easy button just to make it so easy for the listener, give them a lot more than they could get from an Apple or a Spotify, really focused, but try to make it easy. And we continued to do that. So I get that. I really do. One of the great talking points that you have that I am more excited than you could possibly imagine is the customer experience. And I've been having some dialogue of late as to how do we create an experience for the client that goes beyond what we currently do. And what we currently do in many cases is we don't even talk to people. We don't even see them. Okay. And COVID gave us that. And in some cases, they may call and we may never see them because they drop off and then they pick up later. To have that intimacy and that customer relationship and how we can promote the fact that we've got the latest equipment and we've just sent our people for some continued training. We rarely get a chance to speak that. How could we put our arms around that, this balloon out there, and pull it in and get something that's off the charts? You guys agree or disagree?
I think it depends. I agree largely with you. I think the customer experience is the thing that allows shops to set themselves apart. But I think we create sometimes this idealistic idea of what we see in our business and how we want to present it. And we maybe don't spend enough time thinking about what does the customer want. And I think I'm a big believer in like meeting the customer where they are. And I think that that applies in a lot of different scenarios. But I think in auto repair, it's particularly important because you're going to work with a wide variety of customers who are there or want to interact with you in a wide variety of ways. So I think for the customers who care about that, for the customers who want to see sort of behind the curtains, being able to find a way to give them an avenue to that is important. And then for the customers who don't, maybe not so much.
You know what I just heard, which was a very powerful statement, see behind the curtain. And we have to determine who wants that, and then we'll give it to them. And the other ones that are living life, skipping along on the high side, we have to recognize that and just make sure that everything on the skip high side is perfect. Got that. That's just a brilliant deduction. I like that. Skipping the high side or the people who really want in and they really want to know and tell me about the person who fixed my car. I don't think we're promoting our people enough. I don't think we have those, if you will, honor frames out there with their picture, their little bio, their ASE certs. I don't know if we're doing enough of that. I'm not sure we're proud enough of puffing our chest out with our people. Can software do this for us?
I think there are ways that it can. I think that there are a lot of opportunities to promote your team and to promote the folks who are doing the work that are providing the experience that your customers are having. I think the dealership world sometimes probably gets this right in a different way with some of the things that they do and the ways that they promote the folks who are working on your vehicle and with like video inspections and things like that, where the customer sort of interacts with the folks behind the scenes a little bit more. On the independent side, yeah, I think software could help with it, certainly. I think it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And that's what I think makes it challenging overall in this industry, is that I think oftentimes we're in search of a one-size-fits-all solution that is the right thing for everybody. And the reality is every shop is different, and what they want is different, and what they need is different.
And every client's different. Part of our talking point in our discovery call, just to get to where we are here today, is the talk about adapting to the changing landscape of vehicle owners. What's your view of the vehicle owner, how long they want to keep their vehicle, what they want to invest in?
Yeah, I was actually talking to my mom about this today, where a new vehicle is $50,000, right? And amongst a lot of my friends, you know, I'll call myself out on the border of Gen Z millennial. You know, a lot of us want to just have a reliable vehicle. We're kind of strained on budgets. So I feel like a lot of folks are just trying to extend out their existing used vehicle. You know, I'll say it. I have a 2013 Toyota RAV4. I hope it's 198,000 miles. I want to keep it another 100,000, you know, I'll take it to actually, it needs to go next to Bill's shop. I need to do some maintenance on it. But yeah, like that's what I see the perspective of a lot of my friends are like, can't really afford a new vehicle, are getting used vehicles from a friend or a relative or even on Facebook Marketplace even, which is crazy, but that's how it is. And like just trying to extend the life out because of just tight budgets these days.
You know, as a shop owner, Tristan, how do you see this changing, this ever-evolving landscape? I just saw some kind of post on, I don't know, was it Hyundai or was Honda, Toyota, were building these little tiny cars overseas. These little $15,000 things. When I was a kid, that's what we could buy a car for $8,000, $9,000. And that, well, not when I was a kid, probably in my 20s. Is that an answer to solving the affordability crisis? You know, I know this may not have anything to do with our episode, but I'm asking, what's your opinion?
I mean, I think that is a big part of what is pushing the folks that are in those positions to fix rather than buy, is that there isn't really a truly affordable new car option. And so, yeah, I mean, I do think that if a brand can come out with something that provides a really compelling basic, you know, A to B experience at a competitive price point that hopefully has some reliability to it, then yeah, I think that could be a disruptor. But in the world we have today, the reality is, like Syme said, your average vehicle cost new has gone way, way up. And frankly, the cost of repairing a vehicle has gone up, but it has really more gone up with like inflation and sort of just the times as labor rates and things have adjusted and tariffs have affected parts prices, and that drives, you know, additional cost to the end user, but they haven't gone up in the same way that the cost of a new vehicle has, in addition to the fact that interest rates are much higher than they were several years ago. And so we are finding in the shop that I think we're surprised every day by the amount of work that somebody is willing to approve on an older vehicle. And it forces us to have to not make assumptions about what somebody may or may not want to do to their car.
Not selling from your own wallet, right?
Not selling from your own wallet, which is, I think, every shop has to contend with and every service advisor has to contend with, because there are times where when you're in the industry, you have a skewed perspective of the value of something.
Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Hey, want to test your team's knowledge? Well, today's class quizzes show how much your techs and advisors really know, so you can train smarter and build a stronger, more efficient team. Whether it's the basic quiz, perfect for all techs to test their foundational knowledge, the advanced quiz, built for experienced technicians ready to dive into complex topics, or the service advisor quiz, focused on communication and customer service. Now, each one gives your team a clearer view of what they know and where they can grow. Take the quizzes now at todaysclass.com/TC quiz. Shop owners, we know you are overwhelmed with a flood of missed calls, empty bays, and disconnected marketing tools. Kukui has spent over a decade building one integrated platform for auto repair shops. One login, one dashboard, and mobile-first websites that convert 4 times industry average. Smart, innovative CRM with automated follow-up, 24/7 online booking, and real-time ROI tracking. With 900 plus years of combined team experience, we fuel the growth of 2,200 plus shops and have influenced $3 billion in revenue. Stop working harder. Start working smarter. Get industry-leading customer support and book a demo with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You know, most shop owners feel trapped spending on ads while half their first-time customers never come back. It's frustrating. It's exhausting. And it's not your fault. The industry average is 54% one and dones. We understand how discouraging that can be. Well, Pit Crew Loyalty changes the story. Our clients cut that rate by up to 38%, raising lifetime value by more than 50%. Loyalty members visit nearly 3 times more often, creating predictable revenue without extra ad spend. Pit Crew Loyalty, where customers stay and shops thrive. On the web at pitcrewloyalty.com. You guys created Shift Automotive. With what we have just said, here's Syme coming to your shop saying, I have 100,000+. I ain't willing to go down for 50 grand or more because I know when I go into the dealership, I'm going to look at a $65,000, $69,000 luxury car because it could last me another 10 or 12 years like this one did. Where did the software start and why is it there to help a transaction like this?
Yeah. So one of the easiest ways to bring services that are required to the forefront, I think, is through the manufacturer intervals. They provide us a clear indication of the services that are required for a vehicle to, as a best practice, to extend its life. What that does is removes the, well, says who from the customer when you say something needs to be done. And so what we have done is, in part of our product, we have raised what those OEM maintenance concerns are against the vehicle's current mileage and the vehicle's service history to highlight where are the gaps, where are the things that have not been maintained, what are the things that we can show to the customer that need to be done in order to, per the manufacturer's recommendations, extend the life of their vehicle. And then at the same time, where does our shop's opinion differ from what those OEM recommendations are that we may standardize across the board? We may say, hey, we want to check your battery every 36 months, or we may just recommend replacement every 48 months to avoid the problem, or we might recommend a brake fluid flush at an interval different than most manufacturers because of our experience. And we can easily raise those in that same workflow so that you get a combination of your shop's specific recommendations and your OEM recommendations for a specific VIN to extend that life. And you can present that to the customer with the reasoning behind it all in one step.
Okay. Why do I always gravitate to the medical field when I hear great stuff like this? I just wrote down the word blood test because that's what you were describing to me. We've talked about this on our show over the last 10 years, a whole bunch of times about extending the life of that vehicle and what does the customer really want or get from good maintenance programs. And it's no different than a blood test. I mean, the doctor says, listen, you're getting up there, right? Sign your car. It's getting up there. It's got 150,000 miles. It's getting up there. We got to pay a little bit more attention to it than we had in the past when you were in 50, 60,000. And so that DVI thing, which is a blood test, and let me explain how that works. We need to get you in here a couple of times. In fact, the battery, the this is and the that's. And is the consumer, according to how you see things, gentlemen, willing to buy in to that, if you will, doctoring with this vehicle?
I'd say so, because, you know, speaking to that point earlier, folks want to extend the life of their cars. I'm not going to buy a new car. And sure, it's a bit more pain. Yeah, it's like the ARO or the, you know, repair order might be a bit higher than expected, a few hundred bucks. But, you know, people, I think there is a consumer behavior change that is active, especially over the past few years. And we've, in the shops that Shift is active in, people have accepted it, and people, the shops have been able to quote more and sell more, and the customers are end up happier. They've actually accepted it.
How is Shift helping make this work, guys?
Yeah. So what it does is it allows for single click additions of all of the existing maintenance recommendations by VIN onto the inspection report, onto the repair order where appropriate, and into the summaries, so that whether the customer approves the work or not, they get a documentation of the OEM intervals and the shop intervals that they are overdue on, or the ones that are due soon. And then on that existing ticket, you get a one-click addition to just add, to streamline that workflow for the service advisor. And that ultimately really gets down to sort of the nuts and bolts of why Shift exists. We are a tool to streamline workflows for the shop. Whether you're a technician, a service advisor, or an owner, our goal is to give you the tools to let you spend your time on high value workflows rather than on sort of mundane, more just automatable things where the person doing them isn't providing a positive influence or negative influence on the outcome. It's just, this needs to be done and it gets done.
You know what I just took away from that statement, Tristan? People know me. I always say, I wrote this down. This is what I've been doing for 10 years. You fire my brain up. Here's what I wrote down. You put words in my mouth. That's what I wrote down. Because you're basically coming back, you're giving me all this information, putting it on the repair order. I got to read it. I got to understand what it means. But if it comes back in a great format, intelligent perspective, then as I open my mouth to share this, you're putting the words in my mouth in an intelligent process or way, or I have to be smart enough to be able to, you know, read what I say and interpret it right back in non-geek speak to the client.
Or in some cases, you don't. I think that's the beautiful part about it, is that, like, in some of these situations, when you are not talking to a customer necessarily before they're intaking this information, you're providing it to them in a structured, reliable way where you're not worried about, was the punctuation right? Did I capitalize everything? Did I write something in a way that looks professional? You just know it was done right, and it's there on the inspection, and it's there in the estimate, and the customer views it. And depending on where in your specific shop's flow you talk to the customer, you're all set.
So I didn't have to go to AI to make it nice for me. It's there.
Yes. Like, our whole platform is supported by AI, which I think is an important distinction, which is that AI is a tool in the tool belt. It's not the solution. And so with all the different resources that we have at our disposal. AI is certainly prevalent inside of our system to help process information and access information where it's relevant. And in one of those ways is how we structure the way things are written to people. It's one of the, I think, best simple uses of AI. And one of the, you know, features in the product is that for things that we don't generate on your behalf, in a single click, you can just clean it up. We're not going to add context. We're not going to add content. We're just going to make whatever you wrote sound professional and be capitalized and have the right punctuation and not have spelling errors. And I think there's just a friendliness to clean, concise communication that drives trust with a customer.
I love that. Friendliness. You guys are saying an awful lot of great, powerful words here that I think would excite a shop owner to say, yeah, that's me. I got to have something like this in supporting of what we do, because we all want a greater shop efficiency. We want more vehicles. We want to say yes all the time. And we need tools, not necessarily wrenches or scopes, to get that in and processed and, dare I say the word, sold?
Exactly. And so the outcome is higher ARO, items being approved more often, and a cleaner documentation of that entire process. And we're not changing the outcome of what you're doing necessarily. We're just changing how you got there. If you are running your shop the way I imagine a lot of your listeners are, where you're making sure that your communications going out are clean and concise and professional, and that all of the maintenance items have been added onto the ticket and they've been explained to the customer, we're not changing that outcome necessarily. We're just allowing you to get to that outcome in one or two clicks instead of spending 5, 10, 15 minutes, depending on the situation, putting all of that together, which just gives you time back to do other things. Because in a shop, time is quite literally money. We are in an industry where our ability to generate additional revenue is based on a capacity of time. And so where we can make these minor improvements on things that are done over and over and over again on a daily basis, they add up. They make a difference in what that shop's ability to turn over additional work or to improve on processes or keep the shop clean or whatever the case may be, that doesn't just roll into the next day.
Want to chime in at all, Syme, at all? I know this is your partner over here, Tristan. He's doing a great job, but I see your brain on overtime here.
You know, car count has gone up for a lot of shops, but how I think about Shift is that ARO, is that, like, you know, if you've got the right parts, the right labor, the right communication, then it's about the customer trust. You know, if you can back that up with the OEM info, with the latest understandings of AI, like, shops deserve the best version of AI. And, you know, in many other industries, there's a lot of money being spent to, you know, modernize healthcare, right? To modernize government tech, to modernize finance. But something that I'm just really excited with Shift, and obviously with Tristan, is bringing that latest, like, kind of friendly, kind of actually your partner AI. That's what has been so inspiring. And, like, you know, for example, we have one shop owner. He's literally one man shop. Like, right now, he's got a voice assistant wherever I call him. I'd never get him, but he's got a voice AI. He's got an email AI, and he's got our AI as well that helps him run the shop. We've got some other shops that are MSOs, like three locations, if not more, you know, very well organized. So that's the thing. Like, it doesn't really matter. Something that I've learned of many hundreds of shops is that, like, it doesn't really matter how sophisticated you are or where you are on your ownership journey, or, you know, as a client service advocate, you know, because I know that I want to talk about the language as well. AI can help. And I think there's just a lot of, it can be a friend. And it doesn't need to be, you know, this scary thing that we're like, oh, what's it doing? What's it coming? Like, it can be an advocate for your shop and auto repair.
Guys, I am inspired by this discussion, and in part of the think that I have going is what I would call the review of all of my systems. And I've got software doing this and API integration over here and this click and that over here on this third screen because they're not integrated. And all I keep thinking about is, where is the consultant in our industry that says, I'm going to do a thorough review of everything front of shop, back office is doing and using. And I think of our great friends over at Wicked Filed being able to do certain things here. When I think of all these great add-ons and support systems, we're going to get to the point where there's going to be 20 or 30 options. Like, you guys are new to this and you're coming on with a brand new toolbox, if you will, a neat new something that we've learned from the past. And now, you know, here's the way forward today. And in 3 years, there's going to be someone who rethought that again, or you guys are going to, you know, keep pay. Will we ever someday? My question is, have consultants to help us with all this?
I think we already do to some degree. I mean, I think coaches are consultants in, or they can be depending on how, depending on what your engagement is with them.
Yes. I knew you were going to say that somehow. And Tristan, I thought that through. And I know a lot of great coaches that just, they don't want to get that deep of a dive into every bit of why this piece of software fits perfectly in this shop and vice, because then they'd have to go to school or have an extremely strong relationship with you. Or maybe that what the coaches need to, and again, I'm just brainstorming out loud here, is they would want to take your system and someone else's and Wicked and bring that into their offering or into their expertise cloud, if you will, and then go to their clients and says, listen, we've partnered with, and these we believe will make you, not only are we giving you great guidance and coaching and leadership and financial advice, you need to have boom, 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 and this.
Yeah. And I think informally, some of them are doing that today. Now, I think the way that oftentimes works is it's just what they're recommending is whatever they are using or whatever they have used or have been exposed to, which isn't necessarily what is the best option that is available, but best is subjective. I think the other responsibility there is on the software company itself. Like, where you see some of these companies be successful and be successful very quickly, which I certainly got to experience with ShopGenie, is when you over-support your customer base and you reach beyond what your cloud of influence is, I think you provide a really unique experience as a software vendor. Just today, I was on with one of our users who was having some challenges with their management system and having a hard time understanding how something could work. And, you know, the natural response would be to just direct them back to the support team of their management system. But it's just as easy for us who spend all day working in these different systems and me who spends all day working on it as a shop owner as well. And my background, like, it doesn't take but 5 minutes for me to sit there and answer their questions. And that delights our customers because we over-support them. We become what they feel like is a part of their team rather than just another tool that sits, you know, in the proverbial toolbox.
You're a giver.
It's the only way to be.
Yeah, you're probably like me. It's tough to say no.
Yeah, I definitely overextend myself due to that. And the ROI is certainly not short term on some of those interactions.
Well, you've been there and done that. You saw what happened with ShopGenie and you've kind of got a taste of that culture on where that has gone. But yeah, I mean, when you said, going back to the consultant, it's almost like, Simon, Tristan, I see that you've got this really neat, new, cool thing. And I'm not calling it a thing, but it's a thing, okay?
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I know, you can say it. I felt wrong.
I felt bad.
No, I don't mind.
I got my guests on here and I'm calling them a thing. To your point, as you were saying, listen, this is what you got to do and you got to, you know, read the manual or go over here and you're not flipping the right switch and blah, blah, blah. Guys in your capacity that are so smart and have this level of knowledge on how a software connects and hooks and works, you should almost be a consultant first and then sell your product second.
Well, in some ways, I think that's what we are. It's like people reach out to us because there's something about our product that has scratched an itch for them of a pain point. And so then those initial conversations are largely consulting conversations. It's understanding their problem at a deep level and then helping them understand whether or not we can solve that. Because on a not insignificant number of these conversations, they'll come in thinking that we might be able to do something or thinking that the software does something, or not being aware that it does something. And those are only unearthed through a consultant-like approach to those conversations. And sometimes what that means is like, hey, Joe, I can't solve this for you. Here's a place that you can go look, or here's what you can use in addition to our solution to help solve that. And that's where I think like having partners and having other folks in the industry like Alex and the team at Wicked File, who are phenomenal.
Yeah, phenomenal.
When a customer asks a question or a potential customer asks a question about a problem that we don't solve, knowing where to send them is phenomenal.
Yeah, I actually talked to a shop owner yesterday in Colorado. And, you know, I was saying, hey, do you use AI tools, this, that? He's like, you know, honestly, after hearing about Redshift, my ARO is good. I'm actually interested in car count. And I was like, here you go, sir. You should talk to these XYZ folks, you know? So like, I think if you have a more long-term approach, I think that just leads to more of a, like a consultative relationship where I think a certain time, certain, if you think long-term enough and you care long enough, like, it's fine. Just recommend it to someone else. Like maybe, and then I emailed the shop owner. He said, he gave me some good feedback and he said, okay, maybe not a good fit for me, but I'll forward this email to another shop owner who might be interested in your stuff. So I think you just have like a casual, just like, just be human, be normal. Like it goes a long way.
I'll tell you, you got to talk to 10 people to get one sale. Isn't that always the thing? The 10% close rate, right?
It's no different than in the shop. Like a lot of the things we experience, and honestly, why for me, I think running the shop has been not natural, but in some ways natural, is like, it's not that different from the other businesses that I have been in at a fundamental level. The work being done is different, but ultimately the goal is to delight a customer in a way that makes them tell 10 other people about it and then consistently provide that experience so that that result continues to sort of travel down the chain of your community. That's what it is.
This has been a fun, interesting, inspiring to me. And I look at you two guys as geeks, okay? No disrespect intended. The highest level of respect that I can. And I'm sitting here, we've had a discovery call. A lot of stuff came out. I saw a mini demo, I think, at Asta. And then I can't imagine you guys standing at your counter talking to someone, watching a thing get printed, or you guys probably just see code going in front of your eyes all the time. Oh, I could write that better. Or why did that do that? Why'd that screen pop up? I can't imagine what your lives are like if you're geek 10Xers.
I think it's no different than anyone who just loves to solve problems. And I think honestly, that's where a lot of folks find their path in auto repair, is loving to solve hard problems that nobody else wants to solve. And so there is a uniqueness to spending your life thus far building software, because when you interact with software, you certainly have a different perspective on what it could do or how it could work or things like that. You don't sort of accept the status quo as much, which frankly is how Shift happened. Like a lot of this is born out of me being in my shop and using the software that we had and finding these gaps that I was frustrated, just didn't have a solution. The beautiful part is that then I can build them with our team and provide them to the industry. Like that is really where this all sort of came from. And so yeah. I think it's a blessing and a curse.
And we actually have two other co-founders I grew up with in Michigan. They worked at Ford and then they also worked at other tech companies as well. So that's that like unique kind of understanding. And I think they're more on the technical side, so they might see, you know, like the matrix of it more, but...
Yeah, I should set the record straight for Nabil and Adil's sake. Neither Saim nor I write code. And I just... that is very important fact, because...
Oh, I thought you did.
We do not. So my life has been on the product side. Yeah, it's about understanding both sides of that equation.
Oh my God. I don't know if we have time for this, but years and years ago, I was really so good at sitting down with a programmer and explained to him what I needed in a computer piece of software, big green screen days, okay? And explaining to them, the customer sees this. This is what I want to have happen. I need this to be the ultimate result. You need to save this over here and then call it back. I loved to do that in my old days, way back in the family business. And when I hear you guys say, we don't write code, either did I, but now I can relate to you. I can relate to you in such a way. I'm sorry, I don't shouldn't call you geeks.
No. Hey.
But I bet you one thing, and here's my final thought for you. When you guys are working on V whatever, V12, V20, whatever, and it comes out, and how excited you can be, since you're not code writers, because code writers, I don't know if they get really excited about that stuff, but the people who help design that stuff, and you put it out, you say, oh, I can't wait for the world to see this. This is so cool. I'm with you. I know what I get. I do. This was really more fun than I expected it to be, and actually more profound in my think that I had. Shift-automotive.io, Shift Automotive, and it's Tristan Sweeney, co-founder, along with Saim Raza, who's the co-founder, and Tristan owns Honest Automotive.
In Cary, North Carolina, just outside of Raleigh.
All right, guys. Best of the holidays to you.
Likewise. Thanks for the time, Carm.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive repair business podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Get your episodic education on the ARPN listening app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. Also, enjoy the podcast on our Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. Carm is all for advancing the professional automotive service industry. Until next time.